This clip was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For more information about the UK Wine Show, you can go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, I'm here in Shebley. I've got Natalie and Giles Verve. How are you guys?
It's okay for me.
We're here in Shebley, and you guys make wine here. What's the name of your winery?
And I'm Natalie, and our estate is Domaine Natalie and Gilles Fèvre.
Excellent. And you are?
I am Gilles.
Excellent. So you guys have got a range of different Chablis, haven't you? What's the different quality standards in Chablis?
In Chablis, we have four level in appellation contrôlé. We have Petit Chablis, Chablis, Chablis Premier Cru, and Chablis Grand Cru. And all the vineyards in Chablis is 5,000 hectares. Okay. And Chablis Grand Cru is for 100 hectares, Chablis Premier Cru, 750 hectares, Petit Chablis, 800 hectares, and the rest, 3,500 hectares, is Chablis.
Okay, what's the difference between the different types of Chablis, the top quality standards?
Petit Chablis is the first level. Donc, it's a simple wine. You have to drink it very young, with a lot of fruit, freshness. And after, the most important appellation is Chablis. With Chablis, you can have the typicity of the global appellation with minerality and fruit.
A lot of people talk about wet stones for Chablis as sort of the character.
The typical character of Chablis is the minerality and the salt. Salt and mineral.
Salt and mineral.
Salt. Wine of Chablis means sea, the sea. The aroma of sea.
Oh, does it?
Voilà. Because in the soil of Chablis, you have oysters, shellfish, and all the wine of Chablis look like something who come from the sea.
Oh, okay. Interesting. I've never heard of that before.
See, the minerality, oysters, salt, little salt. Chablis is Chardonnay, but it's not like a Chardonnay. It's very different of all the other Chardonnay.
Yeah, no, it's a lot leaner usually.
Yes.
And a lot more minerally, as you say, and less fruit.
It's for this, I told you, Chablis, it's a unique soil for a unique wine. It's very different than the other Chardonnay all over the world.
Oh, I have had some cool climate wines that have that minerality that are made from Chardonnay, but they're pretty rare and pretty unique, whereas in Chablis, a lot of the wines have that. It's a lot more typical of the region. You've mentioned Petit Chablis, Chablis, Premier Cru, Grand Cru.
The difference of different wine, it's only come from the soil, the subsoil, and the exposure of the slopes. Usually, Petit Chablis come from the soil of Portlandien on the hilltops.
Portlandia is like a type of soil, isn't it? It's like a stony soil.
It's a stony soil. It's very stony. And it's very different between Portlandien and Kemerugien. Kemerugien is with clay, limestone, but clay and chalk.
Chalky
soil.
Yeah.
Yes. Grand Cru, Premier Cru and Chablis are always on Kemerugien soil.
So what is Kemerugien soil?
Kemerugien soil, it's a soil where you can find oysters, shellfish. It's a very typical soil of Chablis.
Yeah, so it's a clay, isn't it? Is it the clay with the oysters in it, or?
Yes, it's a clay soil or limestone soil. It's all depend of the different Premier Cru. But each Premier Cru, it's different.
How many different Premier Crus and Grand Crus are there?
In Chablis, we can find 72 Premier Cru, different Premier Cru.
72?
72. But usually, we have only 15 Premier Cru in the market.
Mm-hmm. How many Grand Cru, different types of Grand Cru can you get?
We have seven different climats of Grand Cru.
Yep.
Only in one slope, just in front of the town of Chablis. On the right side of the river, of the little river, Le Serin.
Yeah.
And all the famous Premier Cru are on the right side, just behind or near the Grand Cru.
Okay, so there's a wee area. If you're looking at Chablis, it's just to the right of Chablis, isn't it?
No, but on the right side of the river.
I had a look at a map earlier of Chablis, and it was a wee bit strange in that normally you'd associate things like Grand Cru or the best vineyards to be on south-facing slopes, and they're not always on south-facing slopes, are they? What's driving that?
In Chablis, you'll say we are the river, Le Serin, a lot of little valley.
Yeah, little valleys.
And
yep.
Yes, and maybe we think that the famous Premier Cru and Grand Cru are the point on the hill.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah.
Yeah, so the river sort of winds its way around.
Yes.
And then where it sort of carves out a point almost.
Yes, because we are at this place, we have a lot of erosion.
Erosion, yeah.
Yeah.
So what does that mean? Lots of erosion, so the soil's not so deep?
Erosion is... Yes, it's not rich soil, mm-hmm. and for the vine, it's okay.
Yeah,
it's good. If the soil is too rich, the vine has a lot of vigor,
yep.
and it's not good for the wine after. Mm-hmm. No sugar, no.
So it's partly to do with the fact that it's sort of south-facing, but it's also the fact that these areas have had a lot of erosion and the soils are of lower... Quality, not so much quality, lower vigour.
Yes.
Okay. Is that the Grand Cru and the Premier Cru areas? They tend to be on those points?
And in Grand Cru, we have seven different Grand Cru and 10 different little valleys.
Okay. And it's on
little
those...
valleys.
They sort of feed into the main river, don't they? There's the wee streams that go down through the valleys.
Yes. And we have different exposure,
yeah.
slopes, and different point of the hill, yes.
I noticed when we're driving around, one of the things about Chablis that maybe makes it quite different to Chardonnays grown in the New World is that the vines are really quite close together. What's the reason for that?
We have the minimum of density, 5,000 on 500 plants per hectare.
5,500 plants per hectare.
Per hectare. But we can make more plants. We can plant more plants. It's better for the vigor. When we have a lot of plants, a concurrence between the different plants, and so we can have less vigor, and it's better for the wine. So when we have a long slope, you can choose to plant with the minimum of the density in the top, because it's not a rich soil downslope. You can plant a lot of plants to make concurrency on each plant to have better wine.
Okay, so up on the top of the hills, obviously you've got a lot of erosion and the topsoils come away. So the soil's of lower quality, so you have lower planting density. Whereas when you get down towards the bottom where the soils are heavier.
Yes, because usually in the downslope you have a deeper soil.
Yeah.
So it's rich.
Yeah, and so the plant is more vigorous, so...
More vigor in the downslope.
So you manage that by having higher densities.
Yes. Each wine grower knows his soils.
Yeah.
So he can decide to choose a density to make the wine that he wants.
Yeah. If you've got more vines, do you get more grapes off the same amount of area, or is it not like that? So, for example, if I had... 9,000 vines in a hectare of soil. Will I get more grapes off 9,000 vines as opposed to maybe 5,000 vines?
No, I think when the soil is very rich, it's not the number of grapes which are important, but the grapes are bigger.
Okay.
It's not the number of grapes. Because in Grand Cru, when you have disease, mm-hmm. lot of disease, because Grand Cru are planted 200 or 300 years ago, so lot of disease. So you can have lot of grapes in Grand Cru, but not lot of quantity. With soils which are deeper, with just some grapes, you can have lot of quantity, because grapes will be very important. When the soil is rich, the plant have lot of vigor.
Yep.
So with some grapes, you can have a lot of quantity.
Yep.
It's for this reason that you have to choose an important density, because when we have a lot of plants, each plant, it's very difficult for it to grow.
Yeah, because it's competing with all the other plants.
Competition between different plants.
So each plant's really competing quite hard, and that controls the vigor.
We have always the important thing to do for a wine grower. It's to show the concurrence, the vigor. It's the most important job for a wine grower. It's to see the good vigor for his plant. It's the most important thing to do.
You mentioned some of the Grand Cru vineyards are quite old. You said 100, 200 years old for the... Is that the vines that are that age?
No. I think the oldest plant of Grand Cru, maybe 100 years ago. Okay. I think.
Yeah. Okay, so they're being pulled up and planted again regularly.
Usually, vines, we have to plant again after 60, 70 years.
What sort of temperatures do you get in Chablis? How hot does it get here in summer?
For example, today we have 30 degrees.
Was it 30 degrees today?
Yes, today. And yesterday, 35 degrees.
Is that quite common?
Maybe, I think the middle is 25. But it depends for the year. For example, in 2006, the middle is 25 degrees. And in 2007, very bad summer. And in August, in 2007, maybe 20 degrees.
Oh, okay, so yeah. Quite a bit cooler. Okay, are you expecting, given it's so warm now, are you expecting a good vintage?
All the quality for the vintage is in August and September. And in 2007, the last week in August and all the September, very, very lot of sun, very lot of wind, north wind. Mm-hmm. And it's very good for the grape, for the maturity.
Okay, north wind, is that a drying wind? Is it a warm wind?
Yes, okay. Dry wind, yeah.
Excellent. How do you make your wine? Do you want to just talk a wee bit about how you make it? We had a look at your cellar, and you've got lots of shiny stainless steel tanks with temperature control, so you can control the temperature during vinification.
We look for to produce wine in respect for the terroir. Mm-hmm. And we don't make Chardonnay, we produce Chablis. And
Chardonnay,
we, yes, and we want to show all the soil through the wine. Very simple vinification. We use only the clear juice. Yep. After we press the grape, and after 2 days, we have very clear juice.
It's settled out. All the solid matter.
All the sediment. And
you don't filter?
No. And we keep just the clear juice. Mm-hmm. For Chablis and for Chablis Premier Cru Fourchaume, only vinification in stainless steel tank with controlled temperature. Yeah. And for Chablis Premier Cru Mont de Milieu and Chablis Premier Cru Voleron and Chablis Grand Cru Les Creuses, we use some oak. Mm-hmm. And for the Premier Cru, 15%.
15% oak.
Yes, yeah. In oak. And for Grand Cru, 30% in oak. Sure. And we have 50-50, 50 new oak and 50 oak for 1 year and 2 years.
Okay, so half it's sort of old oak and some of it's half it's new oak. Okay.
And very simple vinification.
Okay.
Alcoholic fermentation and after malolactic fermentation and after racking. And with Gilles, we taste and we decide for the aging, for... For the aging, for 2006, we are low acidity.
Yeah.
And we don't make batonnage. Or batonnage, which is mixed wine and lees.
Yeah, so it's leaving the wines on the lees.
Yeah. And for 2006, we don't use this this process.
Because
we are... low acidity, and we want to keep freshness. We have short aging.
Yep.
For 2006, maximum is 10 months. Mm-hmm. And 2007, this is very opposite than 2006. We have high acidity, and we have very long aging for... the maximum is for Grand Cru for 15 months, mm-hmm. with mixed the lees and the wine, and etc.
That's a long time for a wine to spend in a tank, isn't it? Because you've got last year's vintage still in tank, while you've got the new vintage in tank as well. So you need to have more equipment.
Yes.
Which can be expensive.
Yes. And for us, we are a young estate because our family was installed long years ago. But for us, the first vintage is 2004. When people visit our cellar, we say, "Welcome to the bank."
Welcome to the bank.
It's not our cellar. Not yet.
Not yet. Yeah, a few more years to pay it off. What you say you haven't had the cellar for very long. What did you do? Did you own the vineyard before 2004? And what did you do with the grapes?
Before this date, we were in La Chablisienne, in the cooperative La Chablisienne.
So did your grapes go to co-op?
Yes. And I work in La Chablisienne during 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm an oenologist, and Gilles is an oenologist too. And
I heard you.
And we decide for us. It's more... not necessarily for money, but it's interesting for us to work our vineyard, our wine. Yeah. Yes.
At least you know, for example, if you've made the wine and you've made a decision on the wine, at least it'll get expressed in the wine, whereas maybe if it goes into co-op, it'll get blended in with everybody else's and you'll lose that. That sort of difference, I suppose. We tasted all your wines earlier. There was about five of them.
Different wines.
What I noticed is a lot of Chablis, especially at the cheap end, is quite thin and quite acidic, whereas yours had a lovely richness to it. And you could feel the richness coming through on the difference. You went from Chablis, Premier Cru, Grand Cru. But one of the wines was one of the Premier Crus was quite soft, and it didn't taste to me like a typical Chablis. That was the Montemilieu. Why is that so different to the other wines?
Montemilieu is for us a new parcel. We don't know all history of this parcel. The first vintage for us is 2007, and in 2007 we have a very serious hailstorm. When we pick the grape, we have black grapes, but dry black grape, and the rest 50, very good, very gold grape, and to separate the bad face and good face.
What happened there? Why were the grapes black?
Hailstorm was in June and in July.
You had a hailstorm.
Yes.
What sort of yields do you get off your vineyards in terms of cropping, you know, is hectolitres per hectare?
Maximum in Chablis is 60 hectolitres.
Per hectare.
Per hectare in Chablis. Okay. And maximum in Chablis Premier Cru is 58 hectolitres, but this is maximum. Mm-hmm. But it's not the same quantity at the rear.
You guys mentioned earlier about your soils being a key driver for the style of Chablis. I believe that climate's probably the main driver for a style of wine, because obviously, you know, a Chablis from a cool climate is going to taste quite different to a Chablis from a hot climate. Do you agree with that, or do you?
I think in Chablis we don't need a hot summer, because like 2003. We have very, very hot summer, and it's not good for our wine. Mm-hmm. Because with Chablis, we need acidity and freshness. We need something like flower, white flower. And with 2003, it's impossible. Yeah. We can make a good red wine, but not a good white wine.
You don't make red wine in Chablis, do you?
And in 2003, it was very good Chardonnay, but not typical Chablis.
Yeah, so the climate is a big driver for
the
style of wine.
Yes, the climate is always very, very important. And we can we decide the harvest with the level of the sugar, but always with the level of acidity. It's very important to keep the good flavor.
What sort of food goes well with Chablis?
Shellfish, oyster,
yeah.
Mussel, all produce come from the sea. Just for example, grilled fish, no problem. And we have a specialty in Chablis, gougère. Gougère is a puff with cheese.
It's like a puff pastry with cheese, yeah?
Yeah. If you have old Chablis, veal, mushroom, chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about older Chablis? How does Chablis change as it ages? Does it age? How does Chablis get better as it gets older? Or
it depends. It depends what do you like.
Uh-huh. How does it change?
When Chablis is young, we have fresh fruit, white flora. And after 3 or 5 years, we have dry fruit. And after 10 years, we have sous-bois. This is sous-bois, is a little white mushroom. And always with minerality.
Yeah.
After 5 years or after 10 years, we have all the minerality. But if you don't like mushroom, you don't keep in your cellar.
You don't keep for 10 years.
I think it's a problem because now nobody likes old wine. And everybody drink young wine, and it's a problem. Because I think Premier Cru and Grand Cru are at its peak after 5 years. It's not good to drink it when just the last vintage. It's not at its peak.
At home, I have got some Chablis. I've been collecting a producer. It's not a particularly great Chablis. It's just an Appellation Contrôlée Chablis from Domaine Pouliere. And it's just normal Chablis, but I've got it going back to 2002. I've got every vintage going back, and I'm going to try it in a couple of years' time when they're quite old. Do you think, even though they're just normal Appellation Contrôlée Chablis, they tasted right when I first bought them, do you think they would have progressed, or do you think they would have fallen to bits?
It depends for the winemaker, and it depends for the vintage, mm-hmm. I think. For us, we want to work with the vintage. Mm-hmm. If we have, for example, 2006 low acidity, we can work this vintage. Yeah. Don't add tartaric acid, for example.
Yeah.
But we say, don't keep this vintage. Drink now.
Yeah.
Because we have, to keep the wine, we must have two, alcohol and acidity.
Yeah.
And in 2006, we have alcohol, but no acidity.
Okay. So, it's not a keeper.
To keep, no. It's good, no.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, I think, in 1 or 2 years, maybe 3 years, but after 5 years, I don't sure. Maybe it's possible, but I don't sure. And for 2007, we are high acidity, good alcohol, so you can keep.
For a long time.
No problem.
We were talking earlier about 2006, and you said that you actually bottled it while there was still quite a lot of dissolved carbon dioxide in the wine. Spritz, bubbles.
I said that we work with the vintage. So, no batonnage. If we have batonnage, we have, in 2006, fat wine.
Yeah.
And just for the bottling, we have we keep a lot of gas just at the limit,
yeah,
to perceive the gas.
Yeah.
Just at the limit.
It gives it a wee spritz, doesn't it? It makes it a bit lively.
Yes, but not sparkling wine.
Not sparkling wine.
But just the limit.
Yeah.
And now, when we taste 2006, we have no gas.
No.
It's no, yes.
Okay. All right then, guys. I think we'll wrap it up there, let you guys get home. Thank you very much for your time.